The title of today's message is Staying Connected with Blessing. Staying Connected with Blessing. Now in Mark 9:23, I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, "Everything is possible for one who believes." Now, you know, I think somebody needed to hear that today. I don't know who you are, I don't know where you are, I don't know what you're going through, but I think that when you heard that, something soothing came into your spirit, because I read a declaration from the Word of God, and if it's from the Word of God, that means it's for you. Say, that's for me. So everything, say everything, is possible for one who believes. Do we have any believers in this building today? Now, Matthew 19 and 26, Jesus is speaking with the disciples. And he's looking at them and he says, with man, this is impossible. How many of you have already figured out there are things in your life that you cannot solve on your own? There's some things you can't figure out. There's some things you can't work out. There's some things you can't know and will never know without a little help from somewhere. So Jesus said, with this is impossible. And he's, of course, he's speaking to them in a parable about the eye of the needle. And you know, they're not getting it. They're trying to understand it with their carnal brains. And he's trying to give a spiritual metaphor, and they're just not hooking up. And so how many times have we been trying to understand things through our natural minds, but they have spiritual solutions? And so with man, with man, this is impossible. And there's a good chance that the reason why you can't get past the place you are now, or why you're stuck in the spot you're in, is you're still trying to figure it out for yourself. When the Bible says you don't lean onto your understanding, you lean on His understanding. And because of that, you have placed yourself in a position of impossibility. When clearly Jesus speaks, but with God. Say, but with God. But with God, all things are possible. That means the thing that I can't get out of now, the thing I see no way out of now, the thing that looks like I'm at checkmate, begins to change when I bring a spiritual influence from the Lord into my life. But I have to believe that, and it goes far more than just believing. There's an understanding that goes with belief. And if you follow the Jewish life, when you say, hey, I'm going to have faith for this, how many people have ever said that? Oh, I'm going to have faith for that. A Jewish person looks at you like you're cross-eyed. You know, have faith for that? What do you mean you have faith for that? See, their whole life is centered around faith. We want to segment and say, oh, we're going to have faith on this thing. We're going to have faith on that thing. Every piece of garment they wear, everything in their house is adorned through living through the faith and the promises of God. So it's not about segmenting and picking the things you want to have faith. You either have a life full of faith or you don't. You don't get to pick and choose. This isn't a la carte. You're not on a menu. Amen, somebody. It's a quiet church today, boy. Thank you for that one half-baked amen over on that left side. I kind of heard it wiggle out of the corner of your mouth. I appreciate it. And so it's either all or it's nothing. But for all the alls, all things are possible. Luke 1:37. I'll ring from the King James. An angel appears to Mary and says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now in the NIV, it says, for no word of God will ever fail. I don't know about you, but some of the best news I ever heard in my life is for the first time I could depend on something that when somebody gave me their word, it was not going to fail. How many times has someone given you an opinion or a thought or an idea or, you know, some statement of understanding or wisdom that was completely wrong? And it completely failed, completely let you down, and you may have invested your complete future on it. So when I found out that the Word of God declares over itself that no word from God will ever fail. See, right now I should have about 10 people shouting because they understand that the words you're getting, if you will believe it, will not fail you. I don't know about you, but I like to know I'm involved in something that's fail-proof. So if your life's invested in the word, your life. Look at somebody and say, I'm fail-proof. Doesn't mean you're not going to fail. I hate to tell you that. It just means that if you do, God's already got a plan to put you right back where you need to be, doing the thing that you need to be doing. Because God's word never fails. Now keep track of me here. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So everything is possible, but you can only do it through the strength of Christ. Now we're going to start wading into this a little bit, because in James 15:5 he gets a little more pointed and a little more clear. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And he that abideth in me, say abideth in me. And I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Through me you can do all things. Without me you can do nothing. So it's the all or nothing principle. You have to decide. You're either all in or you're all out. So it's just making decisions today that are going to take us from where we are in the impossible to the place we need to be, to getting into the possible and making it a reality. How many people want to get there today? Then you have to stay with me. Have to say, and listen, you're going to have to help me preach just a little bit today. I don't know. Nudge your neighbor and say, you need to wake up. Come on. Give them a good little show and say, come on, you got to wake up. See, but first you have to understand that word abide. Because we just read over that word. Yeah, he abides in me and I abide in him. What does that mean? It simply means this. When you look it up, it simply means to stay. That's it. See, we get these ideas where abide means I have to just sit there in the presence of God. That may be one way of abiding. But then there's faith. And you have to stay in faith. Then there's a walk. And you have to stay in your walk. Then there's a relationship. And you have to stay in the relationship. Then there's the word. And you have to stay in the word. And see, there's all these things that when you come to, you have to abide. You have to stay. You can't be in and out and in and out. You can, yes, you can, but then the possible becomes impossible. I thought I was speaking to the folks that wanted the possible today. So if you're listening and you're one of those that want the possible today, then you have to remain. You have to stay, and you have to abide in what? All those things. So it's about staying power. It's about staying in it to win it. So what you have to do, listen to me, you have to stay in the blessing of God. Okay, let's wander off here a little bit. People love to celebrate you as long as they're also receiving in their lives. Oh, amen, Pastor. Right? Now you look at Mary when you break that, excuse me, the scripture down. It said, when the angel of the Lord came unto her, it said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So we see blessed and highly favored. So an angel appears, a messenger out of heaven, and says, Mary, you are blessed and you are highly favored. How many people have heard people walk around saying, I'm blessed and highly favored? Now you know what scripture that came from. They're not just quoting scripture saying, oh, I'm blessed, because the Bible says I'm blessed, and they're not extracting it over here. No. When the blessing of the Lord comes upon you, are you listening? You are blessed and you are highly favored. That means, see, some of y'all can't break this down. See, when you're blessed, doors open for you that don't open for other people. See, when you're highly favored, you get things that are going your way, and you get decisions made for you that aren't made for other people. Look at your neighbor and say, favor isn't fair. Say, look back and say, it's just fact. Favor is fact. And when you are blessed and you are highly favored, then you walk in a realm that will, I'm going to say this, it's going to draw some attention. Now, it's not to draw attention to you, it's to draw attention for you. I hope somebody heard me there. My God, I hope somebody heard me there today. The attention coming in your life is not for you. Okay? It's to create things in your life to be able to expand what God wants to do through you. It's not for me. I'm the man. No, you're not the man. You are a man. Are you listening to me? Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that. You are not, you're just a man or a woman. And when favor comes along your life and blessing comes into your life, it is always because God is trying to do something through your life and he has to open up opportunities. Is everybody tracking me here? All right, so look at somebody and say, you've got to stay connected to your blessing. Proverbs 10:22 in the King James says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. What's that mean? How many times have you done, we call them get-rich schemes, or you've tried to take a shortcut to your prosperity, and maybe it hit like the jackpot, but before, as soon as that money hit, it seems like you were more prosperous, but everything in your life went south. Anybody ever had it happen? Seemed like a good decision at the time, but everything else in your life didn't line up. Okay? So here's the difference. When you get the blessing of the Lord, the blessing in the Lord has a purpose. It doesn't just show up in your life. Now, it might come upon you in a suddenly, but God doesn't just look down on you and go, oh, suddenly I'm going to bless you. No, your steps are ordered, and he puts the blessing out here. He said there will be a time when you'll walk to this blessing. But there's some things you have to learn and be trained in along the way, so when you get to the blessing, you'll understand it. Now, I'm laying groundwork, or you're going to get lost here, so I'm trying to just lay the groundwork for you right now. So the Lord, that blessing makes rich. It adds no sorrows. Why? Because all of the things that you would have fallen to and fallen for have already been taught to you to stay away, to stray away, not to go near, to make sure that you stay on purpose. So that when you get that blessing, you use it for what God has intended it for. But can I say something to you now? I started by saying this. I'm going to say it again. The blessing of the Lord will expose the issues of those around you. Okay. See, the problem with receiving the blessing is people don't realize what you had to go through in order to put yourself in a position that allowed you to walk in the prosperity and the fullness of what God's placing you in at any given time. I'm going to say it this way. People don't mind reaching down to help you. But you watch what happens when you pass them. People love to celebrate you. Love to celebrate you. As long as they're also receiving in their life. But you just watch what happens when you're the one that's overwhelmed by God's blessing. And then someone else is going through a dry season. You'll find out who your friends are. See, people get a sense of entitlement. See, they feel that if the Lord's prospering you and they're not being prospered, that somehow you should subsidize their misfortune. Who am I preaching to this morning? Can you show me that in the Bible? Where are we supposed to subsidize misfortune? The blessings are of the Lord, not of people. Now, there's times God will use people, but the moment you put your dependency on people, you just set, oh, come on, somebody. See, you just set up an altar unto Baal right there. You just made them a false god because you want them to provide for you. A lot of scriptures in here about talking how you need to bless others, don't get me wrong, but those scriptures are not directed towards the people who want to use it for their own spiritual gain. Now, I'm going to teach you something. Listen to me. There's three kinds of people. Listen to me. There's people who help you. There's people who use you. And there's people who refuse you. You got it? Now, God will separate you from the latter two. Got it? People will help you. Those will be the people that will be there when you need them. You know they've always been there, and you know they will always be there. Then there are people that use you. Those people are in it for what they can get for any given time to satisfy whatever need that they need satisfied. There's people who refuse you. They refuse to listen. They refuse to do anything you say. And some of them even refuse to have anything to do with you. I'm telling you, the users and refusers, God will separate. When he starts moving and blessing you, one of the first things he has to do is he has to start moving these people away from you. Because they're not there to help you. It's not based on love, or it's not based on relationship that has been formed out of time. It's what they can get, a need for the time. Are you listening to me? So God will create this separation. Now, let me teach you something else here. There is always something standing between you and the blessing that God's trying to give you. There's always something that's standing between you, a blessing that you have to overcome. You have to overcome it, or you're not going to get to the blessing. So let me say this way. Everybody likes the pressed down, shaken together, running over blessing. Men shall give into your bosom. Woo! I want that. But there's something that's standing in the way of that blessing. And that simply is the greed and selfishness that stands blocking the front door of that blessing. Because the beginning of that scripture says, give, and it shall be given. So see, standing between you and the blessing, the pressed down, shaken together, running over, there's something called initiation. You have to initiate a blessing. So you have to give, and then you overcome the obstacle. Then people start giving back to you. Did anybody hear me here? Sure got real quiet there for a minute. If you want to be healed, everybody wants to get healed. So I'm just believing God for your healing. Are you? Because my Bible says you have to call for the elders. You have to anoint them with oil. In the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know your Bible? So you tell me you're believing for your healing, but you've not anointed with oil, there's been no prayer of faith, and you haven't laid hands on the sick. What are you believing for? I can believe my car needs to be washed. That car needs to be washed. Man, I'm believing I'm going to wash that car. Well, that car's filthy. Man, I got to wash that car. I just believe it's going to get washed. Till you go, and thou hast put a spongeth in the bucketeth, and wipeth upon the painteth, and rinseth with the hoseth, there is no blessingeth on it. Have you got that? Everyone wants their children to be healed. Let me tell you, when no one else could help the man in Mark 9:24, he said, I believe. But he said, I pray to help my Jesus. Pray to help my unbelief. See, we all want the blessing, but we don't want the lesson that goes with it. Second Corinthians 9 says, this is like elementary math. Basic principle number one, so sparingly, so a little bit, and you reap a little bit. Next verse. So generously, reap generously. Did I lose anybody there? Did you get stuck in the translation? Did the Greek or the Hebrew tie anybody up? But do you know how many people I hear in 1 week that are complaining about their finances? You have to sow where you want to go. God's not going to go and steal the seed out of your purse and stick it in the ground while you're sleeping. The Holy Spirit's not going to sneak in your bedroom at night, hustle up some seed out your wallet, and put some Ben Franklins out there and offer them for you. You have to sow if you want to reap. We live in farm country. There's no farmer in their right mind going to go up to a field and go, corn, come. We have special places and special drugs we have to give people like that. They come after them with butterfly nets. We get into the kingdom of God. Harvest, harvest. Man, where's the seed? I know I'm helping somebody. You may not even know I'm helping you, but I'm getting this word in you. And if you can ever get the word, see, the word doesn't fail. And so I have to get it in you, and you have to understand it, or you're never going to see anything change or shift in your life, and your possible's going to stay impossible. I'm trying to teach you how to get connected with the blessing. Newsflash. News alert. Ready? God is not causing your problems. He's responding to them. Romans 8 and 20. What does God declare here? That all things work together for what? For good. Now I'm good. How do I know I'm good? Because he says I'm good. I don't need you to tell me I'm good. I don't need anyone to confirm that I'm good. If I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, I stand before him righteous. So God says I'm good. And if God says I'm good, then everything's already working for me. Now, I may not understand it when I see it. It may look like it's working for the bad. But it's not working for the bad, because many times when God is separating, we have created soul ties to the things that he's pulling from us, and he's trying to do something good for you. But we have to be able to trust the good and understand the process, or we're going to mess up right in the middle and start reacting and overreacting, and we're going to start missing the plan of God, and you're going to walk away from the blessing that God was trying to connect you to. Who am I talking to today? But even though I'm good in his sight, there's still some things that I have to do to get past the obstacles that are between me and my blessing. Everyone wants the windows of heaven to open up and pour you out a blessing that's not room enough to receive it. Is there anybody here that doesn't want that? But see, the tithe stands between you and that blessing. So you can want it all you want. You can declare it all you want. But until you have taken a tenth, a tithe means tenth, of your income and tithed it into the church, until you've done that, according to the word of God, then you will not overcome that obstacles, and don't expect heaven to be cracking any windows for you. And the reason why he lists it like that is it's simple, guys. It's a trust issue. It's the one place in the Bible where he says, prove me. Now, he said that because he knew that people have trouble trusting him with the finance. Because the way the world works is you look like you're decreasing while God's increasing. See, 10% of my income just disappeared. So in your mind, you think I'm 10% lighter. But the Bible says the treasures on earth, moth and rust do corrupt. So the treasures, the earthly treasures, are no good. But in heaven, the heavenly treasures, It says, moth and rust doth not corrupt. And those treasures are eternal. So what you can't see is God's taking 10% of your investment and putting it in a safe place where it cannot deteriorate, but it can create increase for you. People say, well, you know, I can't give him 10% of my money. That's the problem. It's your money. It's still your money. Bible says it all belongs to him. All the silver, all the gold, all the cattle on 1,000 years, the earth, the fullness thereof. You don't own anything. You're just a steward over everything. So here's God. It's like your daddy. He comes, reaches in his pocket and says, here's $100. I want you to have $100. Because daddy's good to you, and you worked hard this weekend. I want you to have $100. Now, I'm going to do a little better than this, but for now, I'm giving you $100. And then he says, give me $10 of that. Give me $10 of the $100 I just gave you from the job I just provided you, with the talent that I put in you, with the giftedness that I developed inside of you. Now I want to make a demand on that, and I want you to return it to the church so the church can have its operation. It doesn't need your money. I'm trying to show you how to get seed in the ground. I'm trying to show you how to get a tithe so some windows can crack in heaven and pour something out a little more than just barely get by. So I'm trying to teach you something. There's a lesson that goes with when you're trying to get an obstacle. And then when you take that, what happens is now your life will produce. So I've just turned a $100 bill that you would have went out and blown and spent. Let's face it, it would have been tied into earthly things, and it all would have been corrupted and gone. Now at least I saved 10% of it for you and put it so it can produce in your life. And I want to do that for you every week. That's a loving father. That's a father that cares about you. That's a father that's got your back. That's a father that's watching over his word to perform it. But you have to understand the process. So it's a trust issue. So are you following God's plan? Are you being a doer or just a hearer? Are you believing in the unfailing word? And do you trust God with your most precious things? Because all things are possible to. How do I know if you believe? By what you're doing. People do what they believe. How do I know what you don't believe? By what you're not doing. Pastor David used to say this, and man, one day he said it, and I went home and did it. And I mean, I'm a giver. I am. I was a giver then. But boy, my eyes got open. He said, go take your checkbook. You think you're spending invested in kingdom? You go look at all the expenses. You're looking at earthly things, and you look how much you're investing in kingdom. And you tell me if you're a giver. Do you tell me if you should be reaping abundantly? Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. Nobody's here trying to get anything from. We're not going to receive another offering. None of these kinds of things. These are principles you have to understand because it's not just about money. You can sow your time. You can sow your treasure. You can sow your talent. There's a lot of things that you need to be sowing, and these principles all work the same as anybody listening to me. You may not have money to sow, but you can sure sow your time in that children's church back there. God will bless that time just as much as he'll bless that dollar. You go give a gift or a talent out there, he'll bless that gift or that talent. Matter of fact, he said that gift will even make room for you. He's trying to develop things in you to get you to expand, to be able to increase you in every area of your life. I got to keep going. Let me share something. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus has raised from the dead, and here a dinner was given in the honor of Jesus, and Martha served. And Lazarus was among the reclining him at the table. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet, and then wet it with her hair. And then the house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. Now, but one disciple, one, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't that perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. That's a mighty expensive perfume. We're talking about a year's wages, okay? It says, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and a keeper of the money bag, and he used to help himself to it. Remember the lady who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and put expensive perfume on his feet. So he wasn't in it for the ministry. He was in it for himself. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen people who come and they're what they can get out of the ministry instead of what they can put into it. I'm going to tell you, if you want to get connected to the blessing and you came here looking for something to get, you've already forsaken your blessing. You're so far disconnected from your blessing. Your blessing always will start with what you give. It will always start with what you sow. It will always start with what you initiate. It will always do how you bless others. Before that, you are blessed to be a blessing. So you have to be blessing someone for that blessing to continue to return into your life. And we bless people in a lot of ways. Amen. Mary Magdalene. Mary was the, listen to me. Don't lose me here. Mary was blessing Jesus with her life. You understand? That was Mary's way of blessing Jesus with her life. It wasn't about the foot bath. Jesus received a reward. Judas got yoked up. You see, when you are blessing Jesus with your life, certain people will reveal themselves. And listen to me, he will separate you from those people. Why? Because they can't go with you in order to get your reward. God wants to bless somebody here today, but he's got to get rid of some folks that are not blessing your life. And then he's going to keep you connected to the people who are. So don't be surprised this year, I'm just declaring over you, he's going to start separating you from some folks out there. Not in here, out here. The folks in here are helping you. It's the folks out there. And you're going to try to hold and fight. No, you need to let that outside stuff go. Because they can't go where God is trying to take you. You see, he will separate you from those who try to climb over you to get to the place where you've been called. The problem is they want what you have, but that's not where God called them to be. So God then has to create a clear separation so that the blessing he's releasing in your life, it won't be interfered with. Too many people get yoked up about the perfume, and so they can no longer stay connected to the one that's providing the blessing. Listen to me. We talk a lot about the difficulty of recovery, right? Whew, recover from this and recover from that. Restore from that and restoration from that. Woo! But now you need to learn about the difficulty of the blessing. Can I please put it in plain vernacular for you? Okay. No one ever noticed the 2010 model sedan with the dents and the scratches on the side. Nobody noticed. But when you showed up in the brand new Mercedes, off the showroom floor, now they're mumbling and grumbling. Why? Because they're still driving a Hyundai. Everybody can't handle the blessings on your life. They feel entitled to the same, but they didn't have to go through what you've been through to have what you have, so they can't understand the blessing that's happening on your life. So instead of getting connected to that, they begin to expose and reveal themselves. And they have a choice. They can either fix that or they will get left behind. I'm talking to somebody out here. I've had to fix things in my own life in order to stay connected to a blessing. I have been offended personally and had to go before the Lord about the offense because it was going to disconnect me from something that was going to create the blessing. And the devil was using things to yoke me up by getting my eyes on things I shouldn't have had them on. Talking to somebody here. When the blessing was right in front of my life. And I almost got disconnected from it. Can we just go ahead and wrap this thing up? Let's go wrap this up. So as a culture, we've just lost respect. You can honor, let me say it this way. You can't honor what you don't respect. And our society has lost respect. They don't respect their elders. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect their teachers. Nobody respects anyone. We don't respect political offices anymore. We don't respect positions. We don't respect pastors. Hallelujah. Now, y'all are doing a good job. That's not, I would never tell my sheep that, but all those folks out there. Listen to me. Disrespect is one of the greatest weapons of the enemy. Why? Because he uses it to divide people. People you should be honoring, but you don't because you've lost respect. Now, pay attention to my statement because this is life-changing. Everybody ready to get your life changed? Your future will be determined by the people that you choose to honor and to dishonor. But you can't honor what you don't respect. Listen, I just said a mouthful right there. So there's two things. Say two things. You have to know how to access this kingdom. Are you ready? Say condition and say position. Condition and position. We know, according to the Bible, that we all are heirs and we have an inheritance. How many people know that? So let's define an inheritance. A inheritance is simply a blessing that's going to be released into our future, right? But it's going to be released when certain conditions are met. Like people set up inheritances and they say, okay, once you reach an age of maturity, or once you reach an age of educational. Parents leave their kids allotments and stuff and say, once you reach a certain educational status, or some of them say, once you reach a certain maturity, be it in business, be it in whatever it is, there are conditions that are met for inheritance. Everybody understand that, right? Yeah, listen to this. It's conditional. It is conditional. So Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, so Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the people for service. That's what we're here for. To help you. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, listen to me, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There is a maturity that has to be attained before the inheritance can be released in the increments that's needed. You don't give a shotgun to a three-year-old. He's not responsible. It's not that you don't want him to have the shotgun. It's just he will do more damage with it than he could. Why? Because he doesn't understand the lesson. And so it says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed to and fro with every form of the waves, blown here and blown there with every teaching and every cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. What does this mean? It means if you can't mature in the things of Christ, you can't receive your inheritance. So listen to me. Positionally, we are rich. We are positioned for greatness. But if you're still acting like an infant, you're still a babe in Christ, and we can't get these obstacles overcome, then positionally we're rich, but conditionally we are poor. Your daddy might be a millionaire, billionaire, gazillionaire. And he may say, hey, you need to meet certain conditions, and when you do, I'll turn over the family finance to you, turn over the family business, whatever it is. Your inheritance is conditional. But you may be still sleeping under the bridge, drinking Budweiser. And you may be broke as a he-hank. I don't even know what a he-hank is. But I hear it's broke. So positionally, you're rich. But conditionally, you're poor. So I'm just saying sometimes we need to look at our condition. And finally, you can come on up, Johnny. I'm going to say this, listen to me. We need to learn to honor folks. God will put people in your life to steward over you, to guard over you, to speak into your life when it needs to be spoke, to be given wisdom when you need wisdom, when you don't understand. And I'm going to say this, you need to honor them. Why? Because our inheritance is locked up inside of people. Did you hear me? Our inheritance is locked up on the inside of people. But if you can't honor, then you can't access. So all things are possible with God. For those to believe, those who will be a doer, not just a hearer. Those who will stay connected to blessing, abide, remain, stay. Those who will honor those, listen to me. I want to say this. You don't respect people because of what they've done or didn't do. You respect people because that's the standard you set over your life. Now, honor, it says give honor to them that are due. So you might have, you know, a performance-based honor system, and that's okay. But you can't honor who you don't respect. See, the moment you try to look at someone and say, I don't respect them because they do this, or they do, well, what do? See, the moment you start talking about respect, you just got into the seat of the scornful and you sit in the seat of judgment. Watch it. Because that judgment falls hard back when that sword swings back with that double edge. You respect people because you say, that's my standard. That's who I am. I respect myself and my God too much not to respect you. I don't know what you do. I don't even know why you do things. You don't know why people do the things they do. You don't live the life they live. You're not under the pressures they're under. You're not under the stress and the temptation they're under. Why do you do the things you do? We need to respect. Show some respect to our brothers and sisters. My God, a woman was brought to Jesus as an adulteress. He looked at everybody with a stone and said, oh, we're going to do this. Okay. Who here's without, who hadn't done anything? Show some respect. They put the stones down and start acting right. Show some respect. We need to respect each other, love each other, help each other. We're all going through a lot of stuff. It's a hard life. It's not an easy life. But all things are possible. To them that believe, them that show respect, those that honor. When Pastor David pastored this church, last thing in my mind was ever pastoring a church. I used to joke about it. He's my best friend. This church split three times. One time there was one of the associate ministers back there, had a whole group of people back there, and I stood up right in the middle of the group and I addressed, I said, Pastor David won't like this. I went by outside and called him. That couple hated me for doing that. But it didn't matter. I was going to respect the man of God in the house of God. From the thief that was in the house trying to cause discord. My own bishop, when they had a moral failure. Boy, he had a waiting list of pastors, wanted to come see him all the time, pulling on Bishop. Bishop gave more than any person I've ever seen in my life. Gave his time, his treasure of talent. Never seen a man bless so many people one time. He had one little oops. Anybody here had an oops? They lost respect and they didn't honor him and they all left him like rats on a sinking ship. My wife and I took him into our home. We nursed him back. I did to the deliverance council. I wrote the letter back to reinstate him. Because that's what you do. I had every reason to leave. We've lost respect. We've lost honor. It's gone. Loyalties. All I can tell you is I'm doing the thing I never thought I would do, and I'm doing it around the world in places I never thought I would do it, and I believe it has a lot to do because I chose to stay connected to the blessing instead of walking, because those men, those two men I just named, shaped the man you see standing right here. They made me be able to do what I can do now because I learned from them. They taught me. They imparted to me. And now I'm just delivering what they put into me. I'm trying to spit it back to you. That's how kingdom works. That's how you make disciples. And I would just love to see the loyalty and respect and honor come back into the body of Christ. Somebody's going to get blessed today. I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be the people that are sashaying in and out of the church, waiting, dreaming all service about their happy meal so they can get out the door and go fill their belly. It's going to be somebody that's praying. It's going to be somebody that's praising. It's going to be somebody that's worshiping. It's going to be somebody that's not afraid to get up out of their seat and declare the blessings of God over their life and over their family and over their church, not willing to stand up and say who they are. I am a Christian, and I am not ashamed of that, that I will stay the course, and I will love my brother, and I will love my sister, and I will stand by those people when they need me to stand by them in their life and not desert them. When they give so much into my life, they poured so much, why would I abandon them? Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. People of God, who are we? We've got to stay connected to our blessing. Can somebody in here give God some praise? I'm through. I got it out. I prayed before I got here, Lord. I said, Lord, I pray for impartation today. I don't want to just get up and preach a sermon. I want impartation. And I want to see change. I pray that the words that I spoke, that it said something to you. How many of you got some mentors in here? When you get out of this building, you pick up that phone and you call them and you tell them thank you. You owe them that. How many of you in here have someone, I don't know if it was a parent, a friend, an uncle, a brother, I don't care, that they poured something into your life? And you wouldn't be the person you are today if it weren't for them. Could have been a pastor, I don't know. Could have been a best friend. Could have been a teacher if they're still around. You might ought to, when you leave service today, this afternoon, you might want to go home and just either go on Facebook or pick up social media, go pick up a phone call, and you tell them how much you honor them in your life. I'm telling you, when you start doing these kinds of things and you begin sowing that honor, God begins to open up doors for you because he sees you can be trusted. This is all about trust. God's watching our life, not for what we're doing wrong, but what we're doing right. And we may be doing some things wrong, but I pray to God right now, I know I'm doing a whole lot more right than I'm doing wrong. So right now, if you don't mind, I'm just going to focus on doing what's right. So I'm challenging you today as your pastor. You start honoring those people that have been helping you through your life. We still got a ways to go, and you're not where God needs you to be yet. You still have guardians and stewards over your life. They still need to pour into you. Need to pull you back when you get out too far. Need to slap you in the head when you start acting crazy. And you need to love them right through the process. And you remind them how special they are to you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I've released the word here today. I've declared your word just as it's written. Lord, I pray because you have an unfailing word, that unfailing word is going to take seed in this heart so these lives are not failing. Everyone here will succeed. Everything they set their hand to will prosper. Every place they tread the soles of their feet, they'll take for your namesake, Lord. They're blessed in the city. They're blessed in the field. They're blessed coming in. They're blessed going out. Lord, they are blessed because they are connected to the blessing. So I pray you will give them staying power. I pray that they can remain, that they can stay, they can abide, not just in your presence, but they can abide in the lifestyle that you provided. And in the system that you set up for them to operate in. And I pray they will operate in it with excellence. The Lord, they will always be trying to improve every day at everything, raising their standards. And their respect will come to a whole new level. Therefore, they'll know who to honor and when to do it. So I pray a blessing over each and every person, each and every family, a supernatural increase upon every person that's here, a supernatural blessing of healing to go throughout the house, and obedience to come into this house so that we can see the manifestations of the things that you've promised. So we thank you in advance now for all the things that you're going to do in our future. We go ahead and thank you now because we know it's done. So now we're not looking with hope, but we're knowing by faith. So we thank you, we bless you, and we honor you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now before we go, you always know if I'm here, I'm going to give an altar call. Why? Because I don't want anyone here to miss the opportunity that I had, that you had. So with everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. If someone's here today and you say, man, I want to know Jesus. Well, I didn't know all that, Pastor. But I do want to make him Lord. And I do want to make him my Savior. So I can have all those things you talked about. I didn't even know that. If that's you today and you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, no one looking around, please. This is just a private moment. Nobody's going to embarrass you. I just want to know who it is. I'm going to say a prayer here in a minute. I just like to know who I'm praying for. That's all. So if that's you, just lift up your hand real quick so I can see who you are. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, just lift up your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? You're not joining a church. You're just saying, this is me. Thank you for being so honest. Anyone else going to lift up your hands so I can pray with you? Okay. You can put your hands down. All right, if you're here and you say, well, Pastor, you know, I've already got saved, but wow, you were in my mailbox today and I've strayed a bit and I need to pull it back to the middle. I need to get back on track and I want to come back home. If that's you, no one looking around, just lift up your hand and let's just welcome you home. Let me just see, oh yeah, there's the hands, okay. All right, we know who we are. You can put those hands down. Now open up your eyes and look at me. I want to do just what I said. I want to pray for you. I want to thank you for being honest about where you are. God can work with honesty. All loyalty is based out of honesty. Understand that? All loyalty is based out of honesty. So right now, I want you to repeat after me. We're going to pray. It's not important that you hear the people around you praying. It's when you hear yourself making this proclamation of faith. And the moment you say amen, the Bible says you're saved. So right now, just close your eyes and repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me. Cleanse me, make me every whit whole. Now I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you died on a cross for my sins, and I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I'm a new creation. Now the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I'm a new man in Christ. Heaven is my home. You are my Lord, and I will serve you forever. So I believe it, And I confess it, and now that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's rejoice with heaven right now. For all those people that were so honest today. Guys, very challenging word today. I want to thank you for your attention. I want to thank you for being mature enough to receive it. I pray you'll take it home. If you want to go back online and watch it, it'll be posted, but just several times. I want you to get this in your spirit, please. Thank you for everything you do. You're the best sheep in the world. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed it. Announcements are coming up. I'll see you next week.